As we get started this morning, think with me about your favorite TV series or your favorite story series. Maybe it's a book series for you. Think about your favorite series of a story, and now think about how it ended. Right? Think about the series finale, the season finale. Think about how they ended your favorite show, whether it be, you know, Seinfeld or The Office or Lost or MASH or Cheers. Hopefully I got something that connected to you or to your era. Think about how it ended. Were you happy with it? Were you satisfied with how the ending to your favorite story went? It's funny, the exterminator was at our house this week, and we were talking a minute, and he brought up Seinfeld, and you know what he said? You know, I didn't like the way they ended that story. I didn't like the way they ended that series. It was almost like a big to-be-continued that just left it hanging out there. Why are we like that? It's because we like the details. We like to see how a story ends. We like to see how a story plays out as people that are interested in other people. We like to see a story tied up with a nice little bow on top of it. This morning, I want to invite you to open your Bible to the book of Acts, the very last chapter, Acts 28. And as you open, just know this morning, we're going to get to the finale, right? To the very ending of the book of Acts. And as we read this morning, remember, this is not a TV series. This is not a movie. When we read the book of Acts, we are literally reading history, right? We're reading the history of the early church. We're reading the history, our history, right? The history of the believers that have come before us. We're reading in the book of Acts, the gospel moving forward. That's been the title of our series since August, right? The gospel moving forward in spite of insane, incredible obstacles along the way. Look at the map. I think you're going to have it on the screens here next to me. The gospel moved in a 30-year time period from the bottom right corner of the map, Jerusalem, which at the time, by the way, was a very insignificant city in the world. It was important to the Jewish people, but not really to anyone else. And in 30 years, a small group of people that knew Jesus were able to spread the gospel across the entirety of the largest empire on earth. The gospel moved forward. And as we read Acts, starting in chapter 1, chapter after chapter, the story builds. The gospel continues to move forward. That these last few weeks, as we've been in Acts, we've been looking at the part of the story that the Apostle Paul was involved in. And as we've read about his life, we see that Paul had this miraculous encounter with Jesus. It changed his life. It changed everything for him. And so for moving forward, his life was all about helping other people encounter Jesus, helping other people's lives be changed by the gospel. And so as he went, a lot of people believed in him. A lot of others jumped into the story. They became followers of Christ as well. Churches were planted, lives were changed, and the gospel moved forward across the world as he continued to live his life for the glory of God. But even as the gospel moved forward, I want you to hear this. Ton of obstacles, right? A lot of obstacles. Paul faced opposition. He faced beatings. He faced arrest, imprisonment, and trials. And that's where we've been these last couple weeks. We've looked at the trials, the imprisonment of Paul, and how the gospel continued to move forward. Acts 27, Acts 28 sort of gets to the end of the book here. He's being shipped off to Rome, and he's going to have to make his defense for his faith, his defense for the gospel in the center of the Roman Empire in front of the most important people in the empire. And just like his journey hadn't been easy up to this point, his journey to Rome wasn't easy either. If you look in Acts 27 and 28, just know this about his journey. His journey to Rome included a shipwreck. His journey included being stranded on an island. His journey included being bitten by a snake on that island. Listen, you can't make this stuff up. The drama is thick as the story builds. Remember, Paul's a real person. He's not a character in a movie. He's not a character in a play. He's a real person, a real life, experiencing real things with real emotions, thoughts, fears. All of that is happening to a follower of Jesus. It's history, right? His story is absolutely incredible. So with all of that hanging out there, I want you to see how the finale, the ending of Acts plays out. Acts 28, look at verse 30. We'll look at these last two verses together, and then we'll dive deeper into the word. Acts 28, verse 30, it's talking about Paul, and Paul's currently living in prison, but he's in house arrest in prison. So that's the context of these last two verses. He's in Rome. It says this, Paul lived there 2 whole years at his own expense, and he welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. The end. That's it. Right? That's the end of the book of Acts. That's the end of Paul's journey that we have here. And knowing everything that's built up, I'm sure that it feels like to you, because I know it does to me, it feels like there's a big to be continued at the end of the book. We get no closure on Paul. We don't know if he's guilty or innocent. We don't know what happens at the end of his trial. We don't know what he says in his trial. We don't know if he loses his life or anything like that. Now, there's some extra biblical sources that give us details on the ending of Paul's life. But in Acts, Luke, our writer here, does not include the details, and it makes us, if we're thinking as we read, it makes us wonder why. I want you to think about that for a second. Why don't we get closure here? Why don't we see what happens to Paul? You know, most people agree, most scholars would say, it's to remind us, to remind you, and to remind me that Paul is not the main character of this book. Right, Paul is not the main character of the book of Acts. This is not about the acts of Paul. It's not about the acts of Peter or the acts of another person. This book is about the acts of Jesus, accomplished by the work of the Holy Spirit moving and working in the hearts of other believers. And as we think about that, as we're reminded of that, man, that God convicted me this week, man, my life is not about the acts of Stephen. Right? My life, the main character of my life is Jesus Christ. And if you're a follower of Jesus, he is the main character, right? He is the one that should be getting the attention, the honor, and the glory in our lives. The book of Acts, it was written to show us, to describe for us the unstoppable gospel and show us how it moved forward out into the world. As we read these last two verses of the book, here's what we need to remember. The book is finished, but the mission that is being carried out in the book is not. Remember how the whole thing starts. It's after that first Easter. We celebrated Easter a few weeks ago to celebrate Jesus coming back from the dead after he was crucified. That's about where the book of Acts starts. Jesus raises from the dead. He meets with his disciples. He's seen by over 500 people in the span of just a couple of weeks. And that brings us to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This frames the book that we have been in these last several months. Jesus said to his followers, you're going to have power from the Holy Spirit. And when you have power from the Holy Spirit, you are going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the way to the ends of the earth. The map was on the screen earlier. Those first Christians that Jesus looked at, they had a job to do. He said, you guys know the truth. You guys know what's at stake. You guys have had your lives changed by me. You guys know the need of every human heart that will ever beat on this earth. He tells believers, now go and tell people about me. And they did. And because they did, we see in the book of Acts, the gospel moved forward in the span of 30 or so years. And I want you to see again how it ends. It starts, Acts 1:8. Jesus says, go tell people about me. Now look at your Bible again, Acts 28, verse 31. What do we see there? A believer in Jesus Christ, and what is he doing? He's proclaiming the kingdom of God, and he's teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. That the book of Acts is beautifully written. It's intentionally written. Right, it ends in such a way that those believers that were reading this at the end of the first century, AD 80, AD 90, you know, AD 100, those believers, that they read this and they're invited now to step into the story. They're invited to begin living out Acts chapter 29 and Acts chapter 30 and Acts chapter 31, that they see that Paul's chapter here is closing, right? That the story that includes Paul, it's coming to an end. And now it's time for those next early believers in the church to step in, right? This is an ongoing thing. And don't think that it stopped at the turn of the first century. This is ongoing even today as well. When we read about this in the 21st century, in 2022, when we see Paul's chapter, Paul's era, Paul's lifetime coming to an end, and us, it should trigger in our minds that it's time for us right here, right now, to step into the story. For us, we should read this and know that it's time for the gospel to move forward in our lifetime. Peter, Paul, those early believers in the book of Acts, they cannot reach the world today. They're not going to reach your neighbor. They're not going to reach your coworker. They're not going to reach your classmate. They're not going to reach your best friend. But the good news as we read the book of Acts is we know that we can. Imagine if the book of Acts is continued and there's a new chapter written about every era, maybe every church family, every believer, that they continue to write the story and they show how the gospel moved forward in our lifetime. I don't know what chapter we would be on by now, but it'd be a lot. What would be said in your chapter? See, Paul's chapter ends with him teaching the gospel without all boldness and without hindrance. That's what is said about him as the gospel moves forward in your lifetime. If we're writing it down, if we're recording it for history to encourage believers that live 500 years from now, how does your story end? Right? What is written in your story? Is the gospel moving forward in your heart? Is the gospel moving forward in your lifetime as well? That's what we see here in the book of Acts. And I hope that notion of a chapter about your life, of a chapter about our church, I hope that it makes you think, but I hope that it doesn't just make you think. I hope that it fires you up. Right? I hope that you know that you're welcome, that you're invited, that you're called, that you're commanded to be now a part of the story. Listen, the messengers all throughout Acts and then all throughout history, the messengers for Jesus are replaced, but the message remains unchanged. The command of Jesus remains unchanged. As followers of Christ, if you are a follower of Christ, you're his witness. Wherever it is, you go. As we look at the final sentence of the book of Acts, he's continuing to do it. He's preaching the gospel. He's telling people about Jesus with all boldness and without hindrance. As we look at this and then think about the book of Acts and how the gospel has moved forward, here's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to look back at three facts of the early church, three facts of those early believers and facts that made the gospel move forward in their era and in their lifetime. And the prayer is that these facts that were true of them would be true of us as well. And if they are, as they are, we'll see the gospel move forward in our lifetime as well. The first fact that we see in those believers that we pray is true in us is very simple. It's their lives were changed. If you're taking notes, write that down. The gospel is going to move forward. Lives must be changed. The believers that we read about in the book of Acts, that their lives were changed. I want you to think about them, right? You've got Peter, you've got Stephen, you've got Lydia, you've got Philip, you've got Timothy, you've got Silas, you've got Priscilla, you've got James. Hopefully I hit your favorite one, but all the ones that we read about there in the book of Acts, their lives, they were changed by Jesus. They were different people because they knew Christ, that they encountered Jesus, they believed the truth, and their lives were different. Here's what we need to understand, and I'm going to walk through this sentence very slowly because it's sort of confusing, it's sort of cumbersome. So listen close. When we really believe, when we really, really, really believe, when we believe in something, when something really does, truly does change our life, I want you to listen to me, our lives, they really do change. We're different people when that happens. Right, let me put it like this. If you're under 30 years old, you'll get a kick out of this. If you're over 30 years old, you'll have a good memory about this. Remember that little era around the year 2000 when we had to go somewhere and we didn't know where it is we were going? The GPS wasn't in cars yet. What did you do? I got on MapQuest.com. Right, it's a website. You might have been there before. You could get on MapQuest.com, type in the city, the address, the hotel, wherever it is you were going, and click print. And it would print a map for you, and it would print out a list of step-by-step instructions, and you'd carry them in the car with you to make it to your final destination. That's how we got somewhere. But there was a point in my life where my life changed. Right? My life changed because I got a smartphone. And now, if I need to go somewhere and I don't know where it is, what do? Well, I type it in there. And I get step-by-step instructions with a voice command and a little blue dot moving on the screen. I can't get lost anymore. It has traffic alerts. It has construction alerts. It will change my route if I'm going somewhere and there's a bunch of traffic. I'm telling you, right? This changed everything for me. I can promise you this. I have not gone back to MapQuest.com for directions since I got one of these, right? My navigational life, completely different, completely changed. Haven't been lost. Never been back. My life changed. I did not go back to the way things were before. And on a much grander, much more eternal, much more significant scale, that's what happens when people encounter the gospel. That's what happens when people's lives truly are changed by Jesus. That these people in Acts, man, they didn't go back to the way that they were before. I want you to think about their lives. They were completely different people. You had people that were crooks, swindlers. You had the tax collectors, those people. Man, they encountered the truth of the gospel, and they became very generous loving people. You had Saul, the angry murderer, breathing hates against Jesus and against those who believed in Jesus. His life was changed by the gospel, and he became a loving, pastoral disciple. His life was changed by the gospel. You had the proud, the arrogant, the self-promoters, the look-at-me crowd. And when their lives were changed by Jesus, they became completely different, humble, gracious, prayerful, generous people. Their lives really and truly were changed by the gospel. It wasn't an emotion where they posted something and said, I'm a completely different person. Now, that was a real thing. Their lives were changed by Jesus. We saw that in Paul a few weeks ago. His conversion story, it's part of his defense. They're going to put it on the screens. We use this graphic. Paul encountered the gospel. That's who he was. Then he met Jesus. And then as a follower of Jesus, he lived completely different. He did what God called him to do. His life was absolutely changed. And let me just tell you that if Paul's life had not changed, the gospel would not have moved forward as a result of his life. Does that make sense? If he had encountered Jesus and nothing changed, if he had encountered Jesus and not believed and then not lived like someone who had encountered Jesus, all of these chapters that we're reading in the book of Acts, Acts 17, 18, 19, forward to the end, that we've been reading, where God had used Paul to move the gospel around the world, that these chapters aren't written with Paul's name in him. And that the same concept is true for us today. Right, the gospel moves forward through changed lives. A life that hasn't been changed by Jesus, look at Acts 28, 31 again. A life that has not been changed by Jesus, it will not preach the gospel boldly. It will not move the gospel forward without hindrance. It just will not happen. But if your life has been changed by the grace of Jesus, if you're made new because of the work of Jesus in your heart and in your life, then life change is going to flow from you into those around you. Write this down, right? Think about this. Changed lives change lives, right? Changed lives change lives. God chooses to work through believers who have had their hearts changed by him. God moves in us. God works through us to change the hearts of those around us. And here's the thing. As we follow these believers that experience life change throughout the book of Acts, as we follow Peter and Paul and the rest throughout the book of Acts, those first believers and in their chapters, and we look at it in our life as well, know this. One major result of life change, one major factor that's going to happen in our life is this. It's the second fact that we see about believers in the book of Acts. It's simply that believers are bold. Or if you're a believer in Jesus, if your life has been changed by the gospel, you will be bold. Hear me out on this, right? I want to make an important distinction here. The men and women from the book of Acts that we read about, they're not bold because they're strong. They're not bold because they were capable or brave or any of those things. That was not the source of their boldness. These people were bold because they had seen the power of the gospel at work. When are you the most bold? When are you the bravest? When are you so full of courage that you feel like you can do anything? Think about that for a minute. In our living room, we don't have a coffee table. We took it out years ago. Chelsea didn't grow up with any she had one brother in the house, but that was it. And so her house growing up looks a little bit different than my house growing up. And so as we started having boys, I convinced her that it would be safest for us to not have a coffee table in the living room. I knew that our living room was going to be a baseball field, that it was going to be a football field, and that no coffee table in there meant less blood on the floor. She agreed. She's a fantastic boy mom. And so what's going on in our house now, we've got a lot of football games that happen in the living room. And the kids have to make it from one end to the other. The touchdown is on the couch, and that's what they do, right? And so they all square off against one another, and sometimes my 10-year-old squares off against my 5-year-old. And I have never seen someone so bold as a 10-year-old that is trying to take on a 5-year-old, right? My 10-year-old acts with complete reckless abandon, right? He is so bold, and you know why? It's because he knows he can't be stopped. Right? He knows that he can't lose. He knows that nothing can happen that would take him down or prevent him from getting where he needed to go or doing what he wanted to do. He can literally do anything in that game. Now, it might not last for long. His brothers are catching up quickly. But right now, he can do anything he wants because he knows that he can't lose. The believers in Acts, the early church, the gospel moved forward in their changed lives with all boldness because they knew they could not lose. Let me tell you this. They saw the gospel winning over and over and over again throughout the book of Acts. The gospel continued to move forward no matter what happened. They couldn't lose. They're going to put some verses on the screen. Here's the context of every verse that's about to go on the screen. They're all from the book of Acts. I picked 5. I could have picked 100. I picked 5 verses from the book of Acts, and every single one of these verses happens right after a major attack on the gospel, right after someone or something tried to stomp the gospel out, tried to keep believers from moving forward. And you're going to see a common theme of the power of the gospel here. Acts chapter 6, verse 7, there's a major attack on the gospel. What happens? The word, that's the gospel, the word of God spread in the face of attacks. Acts 9:31, major attack on the gospel. What happens? The church enjoyed peace. The church was strengthened, that they feared the Lord, and they increased in numbers each and every day. Acts 12, again, that the church is attacked. What happens? The word of God spreads and flourishes. Acts 16, the church is attacked. What happens? The church was strengthened in faith and grew daily in numbers. In Acts 19, the church is attacked. People are trying to stop the gospel from moving forward. The forces of this world were trying to clamp it down. What happened? Acts 19, verse 20. The word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. The believers were bold. The church was bold because they saw the gospel winning time and time again. No matter what, no matter who tried to stand against it, no matter what evil shifts took place in their culture back then, the gospel moved forward. In our chapter, the chapters that are written about us, 2022, be bold, not because you're strong, not because you're rich, not because you're well-connected, well-liked. Take bold stands for the gospel, knowing that the only power worth having is the gospel that has changed our lives. That's what Paul wrote about the gospel in Romans chapter 1. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is the very power of God that brings salvation to all who believe. The gospel that it has changed our lives. It is the very power of God. It's changed our lives, it's changed our world, and it continues to move forward as believers take bold stands for the gospel. As we, in our era, in our part of the story, as we live as bold witnesses for the gospel, wherever Jesus takes us, I want you to think again. What does that look like for you? Your chapter, your era. What's it look like to take a bold stand at work for the sake of the gospel? You can't lose. Gospel's going to move forward. What's it look like to take a bold stand at school, your neighborhood, in your family, around your friends? Listen, you cannot lose here. Think about what you're capable of. Think about what you're willing to do. If you know the gospel can't be stopped, if you know the gospel is going to move forward, you cannot lose. Think about that. Daydream about that for a second in here. Just dream about what God could do. And as you're dreaming about that, let me just interrupt you for a second. If you're thinking that it means you need to get a megaphone and stand on your desk in your office tomorrow, I'm here to tell you that's probably not it. Right? If God's calling you to do that, do it. Obey, get on your desk, and do what God's telling you to do. But I'm guessing that's probably not it. I don't know what it looks like for you to be bold. But here's what I do know. I do know that part of your boldness for the sake of the gospel, where God has you planted right now, it certainly does mean talking to people. It certainly does mean opening your mouth and letting people know about the love that Jesus has for them. Remember the book of Acts. It starts with Jesus saying, go tell people. It ends with a believer in Jesus continuing to tell people. And everything that we see in the middle, those 28 chapters, that it shows us what happens when believers actually do it. It shows us what happens when believers are willing, ready, and able to be obedient to Christ. Listen, the gospel moved forward. There's this boldness, and that boldness in those believers, it led them to a place of obedience. The gospel will move forward in our lifetime. If this third and final fact about the believers then, it's true about the believers here, and that's simply this. Believers obey Jesus. Believers obey Jesus. He said so. John chapter 8, verse 31. Jesus said, if you remain in me, if my teaching remains in you, you really are my disciples. Jesus says, listen, you're the real deal. You really are a follower of me. if you're willing, ready, and able to do what I have called you to do. The book of Acts, we see the gospel move forward in the world in this miraculous way because believers obeyed, right? They did what Jesus told them to do. We talk about obedience in our house a lot. If you've got kids, you know what I'm talking about. If you've ever been a kid, you know what I'm talking about. We talk about obedience. We know that obedience is a good thing. We know that when our kids obey, Chelsea and I, things are better in our household, right? I've learned that when I obey Chelsea, things are better in our household. I'm kidding. Wife, don't elbow your husband there. I'm kidding. We talk about obedience in our house. And when our kids obey us, things are better. We're more productive as a family. We do what we need to do as a family. We're focused, we're moving forward, and we're together as a family when the kids are obedient to mom and dad. We know that that's an important part of their spiritual development. Let me tell you, the same thing is true of the church. When the church family is obedient to what God has called us to do, when our eyes and our hearts and our minds are focused on the gospel and spreading the gospel, we are effective as a church family, fulfilling the Great Commission and living out our chapter of the book of Acts. But let me say this too. When church families are not obedient to Christ, when they are not focused on the gospel, when they are not focused on the Word of God, that's when they get in trouble. That's when you begin to see fights in churches. That's when you begin to see disunity in churches. That's when you begin to see churches become ineffective. It's when they stop being obedient to what God has called them to do. Let's make sure that we are a church family like we see here in the book of Acts. Not a perfect church family, but one that strives to be obedient. One that strives to do what Jesus has called us to do. Again, Acts 28, 31. That's how this whole thing ends, with Paul being obedient, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching people about Jesus. And so as we look in the Word of God to see what things should be a part of our life as we strive to be obedient, there's two facts, right, that we see believers are doing when they're obedient. The first is this: believers, if they're obedient to Christ, they will teach others about Christ. Jesus said, teach people everything that he has taught us. We are supposed to be people that break out the Word of God and let people know, see, and understand the teachings of Jesus. Right, we cannot keep those silent. We have to teach those to other people. That is what Jesus told us to do. That's the example that Paul leaves here. Obedience to Christ. I'm just telling you, if you're wondering, what do I need to do to obey Christ? Obedience to Christ in your life, it means teaching people the Word of God. It means teaching people the things of God that Jesus has taught you. It might not mean a life group class. It might not mean a microphone. I'm not saying that. It means teaching the people in your life. If you've got kids, that's who. Family members, that's who. People that friends that God has drawn close to you, we should be teaching people in our lives what Jesus is teaching us in his word. Obedience means teaching others the word of Christ. And we touched on this last week, but if you're going to teach the word of God, and if you're going to be obedient to Jesus, you are going to teach the word of God. If you're going to teach people the word of God, you need to know the word of God. Dive in, read it, soak it up, ask questions, let it change your heart, and as it changes your heart, let it flow from your heart to the lives of the people that God has placed in your life. Obedience means teaching people the words of Jesus, but obedience also means this. It means making the most of every opportunity. Acts closes here, the finale, with Paul in prison. We know that he's there 2 whole years. While he's in prison, he wrote several letters that went to churches that he had planted around the Roman Empire. One of those letters is in our Bible now. It's called the Book of Colossians. And I want you to hear his words while he's in prison, awaiting trial, not knowing if he's going to live or die. This is what he says in Colossians chapter 4, starting in verse 2. He writes it to the church. And let's just know this is to us. He says, continue in prayer, be watchful in thanksgiving, and pray for us that God may open a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I might make it clear how I ought to speak. He says, walk in wisdom toward outsiders and make the best use of your time. He writes to this church, make the best use of your time, make the most of every opportunity, be watchful and be prayerful. And I want you to hear again what he said in verse 3. He said, pray for us that God may open a door for the word. He's in prison, doesn't know if he's going to live or die. He does not know how this trial is going to shake out. The request from Paul is not open the door to the prison. It's open a door for the word of God to move forward in the prison. Just think about this. Obedience to Jesus It means making the most of every opportunity that God gives. And for some of that, us, in order for that to happen, it means that we need to shift our mindset. It means that we need to look and think about things differently. Our prayer request may need to line up with Paul's prayer request here. Our prayer request needs to go from, God, get me out of here, to, God, help me speak the truth while I'm in here. You see the difference in those two things? Making the most of every opportunity. Paul waited a long time for that trial to come, and God was at work. His waiting was not wasted. It was full of opportunity. Letters were written. They became a part of the Word of God that we still read today. The gospel moved forward because he made the most of his opportunities. What opportunities do you have right now in your life? Opportunities at work. Your prayer request might currently be, God, get me out of here. God, let me do something different, something new. God, I need a change in my life. But maybe the prayer request needs to be, God, open a door for the gospel to move forward while I am here. Students, the prayer request might be, get me through these finals and on to summer. I understand. Maybe the opportunity that you have is sitting right there in your class next to you. Right? Maybe the opportunity you have is to shine a light for the gospel these last couple of weeks of school. Think about your family, your life situation right now. Is there sickness going on? A lot of doctor visits? Are you spending a lot of time in front of nurses and hospital staff? Make the most of the opportunity. Let the gospel move forward in your life right where God has you. I promise. Paul was waiting in his life. If you're waiting right now, it's not wasted. Make the most of the opportunity. That's what we see in the book of Acts, starting in chapter 1 all the way through the end in Acts 28. It's this collection of believers making the most of every opportunity, not just Paul, not just Peter, not just the ones that we read about with their names, right? Every single one of them. That is the model we have in the Word of God, that the entire body of Christ, the collection of believers making the most of every opportunity, people whose lives have truly been changed by the gospel, people who are bold because they understand the incredible power of the gospel, people that are trusting in that power, right? And then living obediently. I mean, they're making the most of the opportunities. And in 30 years, the world was changed forever. As the gospel moved forward, and that's still how the gospel moves forward today. God chooses to work in our hearts, and as he works in our hearts through our lives to impact the world for him. And my prayer for us is that in our chapter, in our era, our part of history, that we would do our part, and that would be our pattern, that the gospel would move forward in our hearts and through our lives. Would you pray with me this morning? I want to invite you to just bow your head, close your eyes where we're at, and just use this moment to go before the Lord in prayer. It's good for us to slow down. It's good for us to think about the Word of God. We don't want to just run off to the next thing. Let's think about the Word of God this morning. Let's think about how the gospel moved forward in the book of Acts. Let's think about the miracles, the life change, the power of the gospel that we've seen. And this morning, I want you to think about what God is stirring, what God is doing in your heart. Maybe this morning you would be sitting in here and you'd think, man, my life has not been changed by the gospel. My life has not been changed by a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if that's you this morning, if you're thinking, I do not have a relationship with Jesus, my life has not been changed, that's why God has you in here today. God wants to speak to you through his word to let you know that he can change everything for you. He can change your life. He can give you that forgiveness, that healing, that restoration. He can give you that hope and that promise of a future and eternity in heaven with him. But it comes as we believe in Jesus and have our lives changed forever. This morning, if you have never placed your faith and trust in Jesus, I want to invite you to do that right here, right now. Do not leave here today without trusting in Jesus as your Savior. In just a minute, as we dismiss, our connection room is going to be open. As you're exiting, it's on the left-hand side of the worship center. It's a cross above the door. Step in there. The first person you see, say, hey, my name is Stephen, and I need my life changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. They'll open up the Bible, and they will walk through that with you. If your life has been changed by the gospel, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior this morning, Ask this question in your heart right now. Do I realize how powerful the gospel really is? Do I realize how powerful the gospel really is to change the world around me? And as you think on that this morning, as you think about that aspect of the Word of God, pray and say, God, help me to be bold. That God, help me to take that stand, not because of anything I am or anything I could do, God, but because of the power of the gospel, or the power of the gospel that is the only thing that can bring about salvation, the power of the gospel, which is the hope of the world. Man, it lives inside me. And as you're thinking about that this morning, man, just say, God, help me be bold. And then finally, as we look at this early church, these believers throughout the book of Acts, ask yourself this question: am I obeying Jesus? Jesus said, go tell others. Am I? Yes or no? You know, the gospel moved forward in the book of Acts because people said yes. The gospel moved forward in the book of Acts because believers, that they didn't sit on the sidelines, that they jumped in the game. They were obedient to do all that Jesus had told them to do. You know, the gospel will move forward in your life. The gospel will move forward in your family. The gospel will move forward in your neighborhood. The gospel will move forward in your workplace, in your school. When we are obedient to Jesus, when we do what he's told us to do, when we open our mouth and share with others. So one more time, let me ask that question. Just ask it of ourselves. Are we being obedient to Jesus? Are we telling people about him? Are we teaching people what he said? Are we teaching people the word of God? If the answer is yes, ask for boldness and favor and grace to keep going. If the answer is no this morning, I pray that the word of God would be speaking to your heart. Not my words, the word of God. I pray that it would be speaking to your heart and that you would leave here committed, ready, willing, and able to be obedient to Jesus, to teach others what he is teaching you. God, we love you. We trust you. We thank you for your incredible love for us this morning. God, we thank you for your word, for the clarity of your word. And God, I pray that we would be people whose lives truly have been changed by the gospel. I pray that that gospel, as it resides in our hearts, God, I pray that it would make us bold. God, I pray that boldness would lead to obedience. So that when we look back on our chapter, our era, our part of the story, God, I pray that we would be people that were found faithful and saw the gospel move forward. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.